Good evening and welcome to the 60-minute edition of Left, Right and Center. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Three stories that we are tracking right here on the show. Number one, the Maharashtra Mahabharat begins all over again. All over again. It started again. So while you've got letters being written by members of the Shiv Sena, while you've got some rumblings in the Congress where some statements are being made by the Congress chief, Sharad Pawar, the third constituent, is actually cobbling up a defeat Modi alliance here in the national capital with very little presence of the Congress party. What exactly is happening in Maharashtra and what purpose can this third front, can it be called a third front at all? What is the purpose of what Sharad Pawar is trying to do? And is this trying to create a separate opposition apart from the Congress? We'll be discussing all of this. We have some people who've been invited in this meeting at Sharad Pawar's residence tomorrow. They'll be joining us in just a short time. Story number two, and this is a matter of great celebration, 80 lakh vaccinations a day. That's record vaccination in this country. We've never achieved this target. However, we are still behind the strike rate. We're supposed to vaccinate, according to, say, if we take today's figure, 96 lakhs per day. That's the present rate of vaccination. Can India achieve its end of the year target of vaccinating everyone? We've reached 80 lakhs. Will we be this consistent? We'll have the men, the two men, let's go full frame to this. Dr. V.K. Paul, he's the head of the National COVID Task Force. And also Dr. R.S. Sharma, head of the COWIN app. The men who are behind India's vaccination strategy are going to join us in just a short moment. And also, we'll be getting you an exclusive interview with Navjot Singh Sidhu. There's a battle for Punjab that is taking place between old guard and young guard. Captain Amrinder Singh is camping in the national capital. But Navjot Singh Sidhu is ever so combative. He speaks exclusively to NDTV in an interview. We'll play out that exclusive interview also in just a short moment. But first, very quickly, the battle for Maharashtra, what does this mean? So, you know, we've reported through the course of the day of all that has happened as far as Maharashtra politics is concerned. But the larger picture in the national capital is this man, the master strategist, trying to cobble together or cobble up an alliance or a formation in the opposition ranks. So NCP Supremo has called for a meeting of opposition leaders. This meeting is likely to take place on Tuesday. Details of the meeting emerged after Pawar's second discussion with Prashant Kishore in 2 weeks. So these secret meetings were on. They were dubbed as courtesy calls. In fact, there are people close to these camps who are saying that this meeting has nothing to do with Prashant Kishore's meeting with Sharad Pawar. So that is also very, very interesting. Opposition is exploring a joint fight against the BJP in upcoming polls. And when we say upcoming, obviously it's 2024 and other elections as well. Sharad Pawar taking the lead over here. So invitations have been sent out to several opposition parties from Sharad Pawar, Yashwant Sinha. That invite has been sent out. RJD's Manoj Jha, Aam Aadmi Party, Sanjay Singh. So the Congress has also got an invite. The invite has gone out to Mr. Kapil Sibal of the Congress party. However, the information that we have is that Kapil Sibal as well as Mr. Jha are going to skip the meeting. So, what sort of an opposition alliance is this where key constituents, particularly the Congress party, is skipping the meeting? Right? DMK sources have said that they may attend this opposition meeting. Now, is there a Sena BJP patch-up on the cards? A lot of speculation started after the 8th of June meeting between the Prime Minister as well as the Maharashtra Chief Minister Uddhav Thackeray. He met Narendra Modi. After this meeting, a Samna editorial said that Prime Minister Modi is the tallest leader of the country and also of the Bharatiya Janata Party, which led to a lot of speculation. However, it was dubbed as speculation by all the alliance members of the Maharashtra Vikas Aghadi. On the Sena Foundation Day speech, Uddhav Thackeray targeted the Congress and not the BJP. Now, this is very, very interesting. You know, the dynamics of how comfortable things are in the Maharashtra Vikas Aghadi, where the target was Congress and not the Bharatiya Janata Party. Sena MLA then wrote to Uddhav Thackeray wanting a patch-up with the Bharatiya Janata Party. Do you see? There is a chronology. There is a sequence of events. It's not random. So this is another possible issue that is being discussed. Maharashtra BJP chief had said that the BJP is open to alliance with Uddhav if Uddhav wants a patch-up. Now, will Uddhav want that? And where does this exactly leave the Congress party? And more importantly, where does this leave the alliance in Maharashtra? Let's quickly put this to a discussion. Of course, the dynamics in Maharashtra on one side, but the dynamics that are being played out here in the national capital in the form of a different grouping in the opposition space is also very, very interesting. And remember, the man who's leading this is Sharad Pawar, the master strategist. We have with us Pawan Verma, Ambassador Verma, former Rajya Sabha MP, Ambassador K.C. Singh, former diplomat, Sanjay Jha, former spokesperson of the Congress party, Mahesh Tapse, chief spokesperson of the NCP, and Niranjan Shetty, spokesperson of BJP Maharashtra. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll begin with you, Ambassador Verma. You've been invited to this meeting. If you look at the dynamics, the alliance in Maharashtra, you do not represent any of those alliance partners. However, what, according to you, could be the purpose of a meeting like this?
Thank you, Sanket. I'm sorry, I may put a little dampener on the hype that has been created around this meeting that is taking place tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There are three separate things. One, what could be happening within the Agadi alliance in Maharashtra. The second is Prashant Kishore's meeting with Sharad Pawar. And the third is the Rashtramanch meeting taking place with Mr. Sharad Pawar chairing it along with Yashwant Sinha at Mr. Sharad Pawar's residence. Now, as far as the Rashtramanch is concerned, since I've been a member since its very inception, let me put the record straight for you. The Rashtramanch is an open-ended forum to discuss political issues and contemporary matters. It is not a political party. It's a platform where representatives from different opposition parties as well as public personalities can come and join. Now, there is a member of the Rashtramanch called Mr. Majid Menon, who's a member of the NCP and is perhaps a member of parliament of the Rajya Sabha from the NCP. He wanted to have a slightly expanded meeting of the Rashtramanch, inviting those that we have been intending to invite but have not yet been able to do it since the Rashtramanch itself has not met for some time. Mr. Sharad Pawar was in town. Mr. Sharad Pawar was approached by Mr. Majid Menon, and Mr. Pawar very kindly said, why don't you have this meeting at my residence, and I'd be happy to meet with the people that are part of your forum. So it is not, let me put it to you on record, it is not the beginning, and I'm not against a beginning, but it's certainly not a beginning of an opposition get together with 2024 in mind. It is the continuation of a talks within an open-ended forum, which will continue. I think the speculation increased because Mr. Sharad Pawar, instead of Mr. Yashwant Sinha, is this time chairing. But the truth is that it should be seen in that light. And while all confabulations have their own importance, too much should not be read on it as though it is the beginning of an attempt to unite the opposition before 2024, or it's a strategic ploy by Mr. Sharad Pawar to bring in opposition parties. It was neither planned on that basis, nor is it meant to be that. And whatever may happen could happen outside.
But Ambassador Singh, it's very interesting, Ambassador Verma, that you have dehyphenated, since that is the word used a lot in diplomatic parlance. You have dehyphenated all these meetings, and you say that not much should be read. But Ambassador K.C. Singh, why not? As Ambassador Verma also said, as much as he would want a grouping like this to happen, this is not one such. But the point is, do you feel there is a need for an opposition grouping, given the fact that the Congress, perhaps many in the opposition feel that the Congress has not been successful in being that favicol in the opposition?
Look, the Rashtramanch was created in January 2018 with the specific purpose of creating a platform, open-ended platform, as Pavanji says, where different parties would come together. But let me say this, that when Manish Tiwari and I first broached the subject with Mr. Ishwant Sinha, he took a couple of days to decide to create such a forum. The idea was to create convergence before the Lok Sabha election. It wasn't just a talk shop. It is true that Mr. Pavan Varma came in his personal capacity because his party was not was officially representative, but many others came with the approval of their party. Mm. Even Congress party, initially Manish Tiwari was there, then they changed and sent Renuka Chaudhary ji, and she even was present in Patna, where Mr. Ishwant Sinha announced his resignation from BJP. So we had Mr. Jayant Singh, who is now the RLD president. He used to come as a representative of the Rashtriya Lok Dal, and he's attending tomorrow in his capacity as a president. TMC was represented with Mamta ji's approval, but there were many who did not come with the approval of their party, or their parties did not want to participate. Okay. For instance, Mr. Majid Maiman was there, but I remember Mr. Ishwant Sinha had a conversation with Mr. Pawar, but there was some reluctance. He noticed at that stage, I think pre-Lok Sabha election, the political calculations were different. Today, the political calculations are different. So if Mr. Pawar, and it is correct, I just spoke to Mr. Ishwant Sinha ji, and he said that he had said, let's have a meeting of Rashtramanch. Because of COVID, we haven't had it. And Mr. Maiman broached the subject. And I think Mr. Sharad Pawar, being the consummate politician that he is, he realized that here's a ready-made platform. Why not do a Rashtramanch plus? Well, it's welcome, because it was never the intention that it should be any one person's thing. It's a platform where opposition parties should come together. And I'm sure Congress may well be represented again. If Mr. Sibal is not coming, that may be his wish or the Congress party's
okay,
wish.
Okay, so it can be someone else, but the Congress must be represented. Now, Sanjay Jha, we were speaking to Prithviraj Chavan just a short while ago, and he said that, you know, good luck to people who are trying to experiment in a space in the opposition against Narendra Modi without the Congress. He feels that the Congress is still going to remain the core as far as the opposition space is concerned. Your views?
Well, Sanket, I think Mr. Chavan is absolutely right. Look at the electoral math of India. I think Pawan wrote an excellent piece in the Times of India the other day, where he mentioned that with the BJP and Congress head-to-head in almost 195 seats, if the Congress were to wrest 100 seats from there, you have a story. Because the Congress's bar for stopping the BJP and actually forming a UPA government is substantially lower, at around 140 to 145. That's a 2004 roll. But I would like to be a little upfront here. Pawan has obviously, you know, given this in an entire diplomatic sugar coating. But, you know, I don't think tomorrow's meeting is about having some biscuits and cappuccino or chai, whatever people prefer. It's serious politics. I don't think we are meeting tomorrow to, you know, just kind of confabulate on the direction that the country is headed. I think Pawan, you know, and many other people who are, I think, got their sensibilities in the right place, recognize that it is almost a moral imperative for the opposition to stop an incompetent government that is not just kind of made a complete mess of the pandemic or the economy, but also threatens our constitutional democracy. So I do believe that tomorrow's meeting, whether you call it a beginning or a mid-session, or whether it will result in a leapfrog into a more escalated level of aggressive politics from the opposition, it is a step in the right direction. Because like it or not, the truth is that the BJP will continue to dominate India's politics, no matter how pathetically they perform. Narendra Modi still seems to be a front runner because there is no visible leader from the opposition side. And these are issues that need to be hammered. As somebody who is actually in a state of animated suspension or suspended animation where the Congress is concerned, the Congress is truly the linchpin behind this. Now, whether the Congress comes or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But in my limited capacity, I will try and do the bridge to the extent that I can.
Sure. Mr. Tapse, I want to come to you now. How much of this has to do with the goings-on in Maharashtra? See, you see the utterances, the statements that are being made, and then you've got Mr. Sharad Pawar who has decided this, right? Who has decided on increasing the scope of a meeting which otherwise also used to happen. How much of Maharashtra's domestic politics do you see being reflected here?
Good evening, Sanket Upadhyay. Thanks for inviting for your debate. Let me tell you that the situation in Maharashtra is absolutely normal. There is no rift, whatever maybe have got printed, some utterances here and there, some letters by some legislators to the Honorable Chief Minister, but that does not change the equation in Maharashtra. The Maharashtra Vikas Agadi is a formidable alliance of the Shiv Sena, the Congress and the NCP. And yes, we have overthrown the BJP in Maharashtra, and that has also been the picture in various ensuing legislative council elections which happened in Maharashtra, barring maybe one. Let me remind you again that the MVA is there with a common minimum agenda, common minimum program. The moment we took over the reins of Maharashtra, we were faced with the COVID situation. I think the entire country went into the pandemic mode and the lockdown mode. So whatever we promise to the people, we are doing our best to do.
My only point utterances, why do you discount these utterances? Why do you feel that there's nothing wrong with them? There is absolutely, your alliance is intact. How?
A legislator can write to his party boss. I mean, there is nothing wrong if a legislator feels in a certain way. And in the letter, he has specifically written that I and my family are facing unnecessary consequences at the hands of...
No, Mr. Tapse, then on the other hand, you've got the Congress party also. You've got Mr. Nana Patole who is saying that the next big leader should be from the Congress party. These personal ambitions, do you feel that this is seismic activity in Maharashtra?
Sanket, the legislator in question has the experience.
No, I'm not only talking about the Shiv Sena legislator. There is a context.
I will not take the comment on a very serious note.
Niranjan Shetty, very quickly. Niranjan Shetty, the point.
It is the party president who has to take a call, and I'm very proud to say. I am extremely proud to say that the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, Shri Uddhav Thackeray ji, has taken everybody under his guidance.
Okay, Niranjan Shetty, some in the Shiv Sena feel that they are more ideologically aligned with the BJP and thus these roots should not be snapped. There is this feeling being expressed. However, a decision has not been taken. But you know, the point that Ambassador Verma was making just a short while ago, that there are different events that are happening, and they must all be looked at differently. You can't combine all these activities together. And then there is Mr. Sanjay Jha who feels that there's every possibility of this being, you know, combined together or strung together. Mr. Shetty, how much of the BJP involvement is there in these activities? Mr. Shetty, can you hear me? Niranjan Shetty?
Big gambler. And
every
now and then he comes out with such kind of concept. And it is not the first time that he has come out with such kind of, you know, kind of combination. Having said that, Mr. Sanjay Jha himself knows, and who better can be than the previous CM Prithviraj Chauhan, who has held the post in PMO as well as who was the CM of the state. And we all know how he never is to, you know, accept the Sharad Pawar's letters or whatever is this thing. And because of that, Mr. Sharad Pawar had got agitated and various kinds of, when there was a alliance in the state under the leadership of Prithviraj Chauhan. So it is best, it is Prithviraj Chauhan who knows Mr. Sharad Pawar very well. And I don't think so. He must have advised the Sonia Gandhi ji and the Rahul Gandhi ji about whether to go with the alliance or not. So I'm very much sure Sanjay Jha sir is absolutely right. I'm doubting that the Congress, none of the Congress will be going there. So basically, and I have read that also, without these
no,
people,
but what do you make of this association of people?
Sorry?
What do you make of this meeting that is going to take place in Delhi?
See, we cannot stop this. We wish them good luck. Of course, they can have the right. Every person in the politics has the right. And with, if somebody wants to daydream, there is no harm. Let them do the daydreaming. Okay. And as Sanjay Jha said, they can have cappuccino or some biscuits and come back home. And again, back to the pavilion. Of course, a question will always be there when one fight will be there, who will be the prime minister candidate.
I am pretty sure, Mr. Niranjan Shetty, that the Rashtriya Manch
high tea over there
is a little more than biscuits and cappuccino and tea. But we'll wait for the meeting to take place tomorrow to figure out what exactly has happened. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'm stopping for a short break at this moment. When we come back, we'll speak to the vaccine men, people who have strategized India's vaccine strategy. Dr. R.S. Sharma, Ram Sevak Sharma, who's head of the Covin app, is going to join us after a short break. And then later, we'll have Dr. V.K. Paul, who's part of the Niti Aayog and also head of the National COVID Task Force. 80 lakh a day, that's a new record, worth celebrating, but with caution. Can we maintain this with consistency to achieve our end of the year target? Left, right and center continues. Welcome back. Now we are joined in by Dr. R.S. Sharma. He's the CEO of National Health Authority, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, and chairperson of the Empowered Committee on Administration of the COVID-19 Vaccine, head of the Covin app. Dr. Sharma, thank you so much. How happy are you? We've been able to reach 80 lakh. I think this is a moment
really
of celebration. Let's just say, obviously, this is a great achievement.
No, it's certainly a moment of celebration. It's also certainly a record in the whole world. And talking of Covin platform, I think it's again a record in the sense that, you know, we clocked, at some points we clocked 30,000 vaccinations per second. So that's something which is really must be a record. You know? So that's again.
But Dr. Sharma, I'm sure you also realize that the game from here on is going to be the game of consistency. Even now at 80 lakh, we are still behind what we are actually supposed to achieve. About 96 or 97 lakh per day if we are to achieve our end of the year target. So do you feel that this app is going to be that essential tool to be able to do this?
No, one is that you see your analysis of, you know, whether we are behind or whether we are ahead. I really do not want to comment on that analysis because I have always maintained that my job is to maintain this platform, not really, you know, talk about the numbers, expected numbers, logistics of vaccines. That's not my domain. But what I can say is that this is a platform which is highly scalable, highly inclusive, and actually can cater to a population scale of a scale which is 1/6 of humanity. Hmm. Imagine. It is also a platform which has become 300 million in a matter of 5 months. It's also a platform which actually keeps track of each dose of vaccine. When was it given? By whom was it given? What kind of vaccine was given? So I think, and as I have maintained, we can, you know, tackle any number of numbers. So if you, let's say, put 10 million tomorrow, we are fine. If you put 20 million, we are also fine.
Dr. Sharma,
I think that scalability is there.
Yeah, scalability, a point I understand. But, you know, among the various criticism of the Covin platform was the fact that it is very exclusive in nature. It is an English-only platform. It is a urban-centric platform. How on earth will someone in rural pockets of this country be able to access an app like this? What would you say? Because now we are looking at more and more and more people. 80 lakh.
So you mean to? Yeah. Do you mean to say that 80 lakh numbers which today came all from the cosmopolitan urban areas?
Certainly not, which is why I'm asking you this question.
So I think your assertions are completely wrong. Mm-hmm. First of all, it is not an exclusive platform. It's not a single language platform. It's a platform which actually caters to 12 languages of this country. Mm-hmm. As of now. Mm-hmm. We are going to add more, number one. Number two, 80% of the vaccinations on this platform are taking place without reservations, without appointments. Mm-hmm. Which means you walk in the center and you get vaccinated. This platform becomes digital from the point of, you know, vaccination, which means every vaccination is recorded. It's not necessary that everybody has to come with appointments. to call this platform as urban centric, limiting a platform is absolutely false. This is the most inclusive, ubiquitous, and now that we are sharing this platform with large number of other applications, I think the reach is phenomenal. And so therefore, by any stretch of imagination, it cannot be called. 30 crore people in this country cannot be called to all urban people who are... By the way, let me also share another statistics with you.
Sure.
53% of the vaccinations which have taken place till today belong to rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Sharma, to be able to scale this further, would you like to tell us what really is the plan? You say that this app has great scalability. Now, obviously, we'll be increasing these numbers from 80. The government would be, or there will be less and less of vaccine hesitancy. These numbers will increase. So what are your plans for scaling this application further?
Let me tell you, Sanket, this is a very good question of scalability. Let me tell you that scalability is not an afterthought in this application. You know, we have built this application since the very beginning as a scalable application. And let me just tell you, because anybody can create an application. It's a two-hour job. That's not a problem. Business logic is not so complicated, so it keeps on changing. But what is important is that basically you architect it well. You architect it for a scale. So we got a lot of, knowledge from Aadhaar. Mm-hmm. Aadhaar is one application which we were doing 2 million, enrollments per day. We got the kind of, lessons from UPI. UPI is doing 3 billion transactions per month. So therefore, based on, open APIs, all the four components of this application are loosely coupled, talking to each other through APIs, which means that it does not create dependency. That's very important. It's not an assembly line process. It's a it's a basically an atomic kind of process. So I think scalability is in the design, not in the code, etc. And I can assure you, as I have said many times before, today also, application did 80 lakhs plus, and it did not falter even once. 99% of our OTPs were delivered within 15 seconds. So I think that part is there. And India, let's understand, this is not R.S. Sharma's contribution. Please, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, India is now absolutely mature in terms of delivering digital applications at a scale. Aadhaar is one example. Authentications, electronic KYC, e-sign, digital locker. Digital locker today had 4 billion documents in it. So I think we are building applications which are diverse, which can cater to the diverse population of this country.
Sure.
Multiple languages. I think it's all there in the design.
Sure. All right. Good luck to you, Dr. Sharma. Let's just hope that we move from strength to strength. Of course, there was these initial technical glitches. I'm glad to learn from you that the Cowin app is learning and learning fast and will learn even further for scalability. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on your platform. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, joining us right now is Dr. V.K. Paul. Dr. Paul is the head of the National COVID Vaccine Task Force. Dr. Paul, 80 lakh vaccines per day is an achievement in itself. This is size of many countries we've been able to vaccinate. So congratulations. Obviously, this is a moment where we should be happy. But of course, there will be some important questions on how will we maintain this and perhaps even grow further.
Well, Sanket, it is truly a matter of great satisfaction and pride that the country has demonstrated that a vaccination program of this scale can be delivered. This is the first recognition that we would like the people of India, our countrymen and women, to appreciate and feel satisfied that going forward, universal vaccination is within our grasp because we can deliver on such a scale. We are also confident that as we demonstrate this capability, it is critical that vaccine supplies will rise and should rise consistently over the next weeks and months. And coupled with that, this kind of a rate of vaccination on the ground is critical. Only then can we ensure universal immunization for COVID-19 in finite period of time that we have we have to ensure, and we are committed to covering every adult by a certain date, has to be achieved in order to stimulate our economy, in order to feel safe from this deadly virus, and to move into a position to start helping other nations as well, because that is also one of our important tenets and beliefs.
How soon, Dr. Paul, is that going to happen? Because obviously we have international commitments which we have kept on hold because of a vaccine shortage.
Well, what is
the timeline?
This is not the, you know, like apt time to put a timeline. Mm-hmm. But the point that I am making is that we have to ensure that people of India are vaccinated and the life comes to normalcy, economic life as well as social life comes to normal times. And then as we move forward, there is a responsibility for this nation to fulfill, because we are the vaccine pharmacy of the world. Mm-hmm. And our capabilities in that regard as we move forward are there to be harnessed by other people.
But, you know, Dr. Paul, my question is that today we've achieved 80. Even now, if we are to meet the, you know, end of the year target, we'll have to vaccinate about 97 lakh per day. Obviously, you would be looking at scalability further. So this sending of the vaccine abroad to, you know, to honor our international commitments, will this lead to a dip in this new peak that we have achieved?
Sanket,
or is this now the new consistency?
No. Remember what I said. I laid out that aspirational goal for ourselves.
Which is?
There is no question of any, you know, vaccine availability for outside the nation till we have optimally vaccinated people of India. That's a clear priority. Mm-hmm. But when you are looking at setting the vision and high objectives for a nation of our, you know, size and importance, we are, you know, also having that objective in mind. But remember, today what has been demonstrated is that state government, union government, local administrations and people of India can come together to implement a vaccine program of this size. And if we have demonstrated it once, surely it paves the way for a sustained capabilities to be put on the ground on a daily basis.
I agree. You know, Dr. Paul, don't mind my asking, because, you know, the questions will be slightly probing for the benefit of better understanding, nothing else. Dr. Paul, my question is on transparency as far as availability of the vaccine is concerned, because that is key, as you've just mentioned. So far, there was shortage. That's why we could not scale it up. Now we have these vaccines being available, and thus the vaccination drive has peaked, or it has moved forward.
The vaccination drive is picking up. And in the context of the new guidelines, when the state government and the union government to work together in a seamless way through centralized procurement and supply system, you notice that new milestones can be achieved. The vaccine availability roadmap has been stated in public by the government multiple times. You are aware that we have two major players, and going between August to December with two major players, we have already placed orders for 44 crore doses, mm-hmm. which is about half of what we were to procure as union government following the previous policy. What does it mean? It means that there is a visibility to the extent of 88 or 90 crore vaccine doses coming from these two players. We have given an advance purchase order in a way for a third vaccine, which is the BioE vaccine, mm-hmm. for 30 crore doses for the same period of time. If you add this, would you not like to feel comfortable that 120 crore doses technically could be secured, and they are visible to us if everything goes well? Indeed, in a journey of this kind, there are some uncertainties. The scale-up happens in new facilities, for example. These new facilities have to function. The new reactors have to succeed. Fair enough. And in terms of additional vaccine types, such as the Cadila Zydus, such as BioE itself, such as the Novavax vaccine, such as, for example, the mRNA vaccine from Genova, there are journey points that have to be achieved. A roadmap has to be achieved. But the fact remains that we can be optimistic that this nation has the capability to have Make in India vaccines to that extent. And to this, we also have to keep in mind the potential of internationally developed vaccine. Mm. One such example is Sputnik, which is actually a joint vaccine, vaccine developed through joint effort of two nations. Mm-hmm. That also has a future in terms of increased number, production, as well as at this stage, import. We are also working closely with the other international vaccine suppliers, and we are open to having them into our country. So when you put it all together, one can derive reasonable satisfaction and confidence that it is possible for our nation to achieve the goal of universal immunization for eligible population in a reasonable period of time.
Dr. Paul, see, of course, barring a situation where there is force majeure, are you reasonably comfortable that we can only scale up from here and not go down to the lows of, 10 lakh per day vaccine or even lower? That 80 lakh is now going to be the new normal. In fact, we are only going to scale it up further.
Sanket, you said it, and I like that. I don't have to say it. There is a buoyancy in your voice today that, yes, going forward, we are looking forward to at a different level of vaccine uptake in the country. A day-to-day variation will happen, and it ought to happen. But the direction is acceleration, acceleration, and acceleration. Mm-hmm. Remember, currently we are still working with the vaccine supplies which are of finite nature, but they are rising. For example, in this month, we are visualizing about 12 crore doses to be available. Next month, we visualize about 15 crore doses, and then increasing in a quantum jump. So you should believe that these developments are real. They are very likely. There is a roadmap available to them. The companies are now stable. Companies are having a higher appetite to produce and to rise to the occasion and take the nation forward in making vaccine available to all of us.
Dr. Paul, one of the reasons that was cited, not by you, but many experts who said that the reason why the gap between the two Covishield doses has been increased is not just science, but also availability. It's both. So that's a reasonable justification. Now that you look at a horizon where you will have vaccines readily available, how likely is it that Dr. Paul decides, let's now reduce the duration?
Firstly, it is not Dr. Paul or the government of India decides this. Hmm. The nation has a robust organization based on WHO guidelines and internationally accepted way of working. And this institution is called the National Technical Advisory Group on Immunization, or NTAGI. It has people who are from diverse backgrounds, and they're all scientists. And they take a decision. At the core of that NTAGI is this group, which decides what is the scientific approach that has to be
but
taken.
But what's your opinion?
Let me complete.
Yeah.
They visualize, first and foremost, whether a given vaccine is effective, will it work in our population, and then if it is to be administered, what are the parameters through which it should be administered. Then the discussion takes place, should we invest in this, is it affordable, can we take it to scale, do we have the cold chain, and by putting it all together, NTAGI then takes the way forward. My answer to you is, respect the judgment of NTAGI in these affairs.
Sure, okay.
Because individual scientists who go into public and individuals who go into public have a very valid reason to share with other people. But then when you have to take a decision in the interest of a large, vast, humanity, this has to be a responsible decision taken by a collegium.
Sure.
And that collegium sorts out the issues of varying understanding of the science and then come together to make a final decision. I would leave this decision to them. Please remember, no, Sanket, this controversy should be settled.
Sure.
We were giving this vaccine 4 to 6 weeks. Hmm. Then there was a pressure to go to 12. We did not. We were waiting for data to be done. We then moved one step above, taking into account every factor, including the fact how much vaccine is available. And then when we moved to 12 weeks, I believe the NTAGI took it on the basis of UK's real-life experience. They are examining this issue on a rolling basis. As the new data comes, they look at it. My plea is that it is good to see views on this in the public domain. We welcome It shows the interest in the subject. But please leave such decisions to the wisdom of high, very high quality, high esteem, high achiever, and people of high integrity who form that committee.
I told you, Dr. Paul, some of the questions will be probing, so you should not mind. The intention is to find out what the truth is and what the thought process is. My
truth
next
is
question
is very evident. You're driven by science. It is a collective judgment
of
our scientists, the very best in our nation and highly respected globally.
Now, Dr. Paul, my next question is about the feasibility of producing the vaccine. See, I'm sure you must have heard the concerns raised by Bharat Biotech, where they said that if the vaccine is going to be produced or purchased at a certain rate, it will create certain amount of difficulties. Do you think that this could also be a potential problem later? While you're thinking about scalability, while you're thinking about expanding our, you know, availability of the vaccine, could this potentially become a problem where the companies just don't have enough money to be able to sustain their efforts?
I have not heard that there is such a concern. These companies are stable companies. They have stable finances. The government of India has always offered them assistance. Advance orders have been placed. You are aware that for the segment of 3 months ending July, advance orders were placed for the commitment that was required to be made by government of India. State governments place their own orders. We are in touch with them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing that there is a concern about their sustainability in financial terms. We are there. We are together in this. You will not believe how much interaction takes place with these companies on a daily basis. That is why we are confident and we know their plans. We have our regulator present in their company. They are watching their development. They are ensuring quality. They are helping. Okay. They are giving signals. They are watching how best we can help them, how to make sure that the time taken for a particular, you know, roadmap to be achieved for escalation of production, for example, in the Bangalore facility of Bharat Biotech, how can we be helpful in this regard? So this is a partnership. We are working together. We are transparent with each other. Yes, they have to be business-wise viable.
Sure.
We talk it over and then take a path which is acceptable to both the government and these wonderful manufacturers.
I have plenty of questions, Dr. Paul, but I'm quickly going to squeeze them in. And this is related to the Delta Plus variant. You know, this is a time when we see a new version of the Delta variant being reported in Maharashtra. And at the same time, massive unlocking is happening. Do you see this as a point of concern or a spot of bother?
Well, Delta variant or no Delta variant, our unlocking, to use that word, or relaxation of restrictions must happen in a systematic, stepwise, de-escalation-wise. It cannot be abrupt. It cannot be sudden going back to the ways that triggered, at least partly responsible, partly for the rise that we saw. So first and foremost, it is the responsibility of district administration, the state administration, to ensure that we go in a stepwise manner. We don't de-bottle the whole thing in one go. Mm-hmm. We must be sure that as we open up, we have our preparedness ready. Testing, tracking, contact tracing, quarantining the contacts, setting up containment zones as required, and also enforcing the COVID-appropriate behavior. Mm. We cannot let ourselves be exposed to another wave unnecessarily. It's about discipline. Mm. And therefore, this must go hand in hand with de-escalation. We should watch it. We should try it out. Move from one step to the next, and let's be all responsible. But remember, there is really no place for large gatherings. Mm-hmm. There is no place for mass gathering. There is no place for big parties. There is no place for, you know, restaurants full of people and air conditioning going on. That kind of a thing is postponed.
Dr. Paul, what's
for
your
several
estimation?
Months now.
What's your estimation on a third wave? I mean, we spoke to Dr. Guleria a few days ago, and he said that his estimation is that if things continue, if people don't respect COVID appropriate behavior, it would come as soon as 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that's very alarming. What needs to be done, and what's your estimation?
Well, this Dr. Guleria, the way you have put it, has said If people behave like this, the wave can come soon. Right? Conversely, if we don't behave like this, why should the third wave happen at all? My request and my expectation, my humble request will be, let us be disciplined in our personal contact in terms of wearing a mask, social distancing, being careful, don't go out unnecessarily, don't enter crowded places and so on. Be careful. My request is that let the state governments and district administrations ensure the trace and track strategy and testing strategy optimally. If we do all these things in a systematic manner, why should the third wave come? And in the meanwhile, in the meanwhile, ramp up vaccination. If we remain disciplined as a nation for the next 4 to 5 months and we ramp up vaccination the way we can, and we have demonstrated how we can do it, we should not have any third wave. I think having or not having a third wave of the kind, you know, depends on wave, like a real wave.
Right now.
It is dependent upon us. I call for discipline. But Prime Minister Ji ne bhi kaha tha, dawai bhi, kadai bhi. Jo kadai wala part hai, discipline ka part hai, wo hume nahi bhoolna
chahiye. But you know, Dr. Paul, you would also agree, and you have said this initially also, that the first step is testing, right? In your press conferences also, you have said that we are ramping up our testing capabilities. And yet, the latest figures on testing is that we are only testing 18 lakh. This has actually come down. Do you think this is a cause of concern?
Remember, Sanket, how testing happens. See, testing happens in, first and foremost, if somebody is sick, so you get your test done. Respiratory symptoms, so you get the test done. If somebody is positive, then there is a protocol to test 15, 20 people of this person who came in contact. Then you continue to test people who are high risk. Transport workers, bazaar mein, people who are exposed, healthcare workers, and people who are serving, let's say, in restaurants and so on, or transportation workers, as I said, or mandis, for example, bazaar, market. This is the way surveillance takes place. But now in a situation, if the positive cases have really come down, there'll be fewer people to be traced at contact. So some level of variation will happen. But remember, there is a WHO benchmark. And WHO benchmark, we will never go below that as a policy. No district, no population. And that benchmark is 140 per million tests per day. And the government has made it very clear. So that's one condition. So you watch whether anybody is going below that. Second condition, we test enough to ensure that the test positivity is below 5% and as close to 2% as possible. Within this, you play. Because tomorrow, if the pandemic becomes very minimal, there will be less people who have flu-like illness. There will be less people.
So there will be less tests.
Who require. But then, sufficient number of testing and the capability to mount testing to a totally different level remains our responsibility by way of preparedness. And we have shown that you can have testing to the tune of 22 lakhs and even more.
Sure.
And if required, we can mount it to 30 lakh.
Well,
that preparedness must never be lowered.
Dr. Paul, all the best. Coming back to vaccinations, all the best. And let's hope that we are able to achieve this target of vaccinating all by the end of the year. And may this 80 lakh be a new benchmark or the new bar, and we only exceed this.
Thank you so much.
All right. Before we head into a short break, here's the excerpt of that exclusive interview with Navjot Singh Sidhu. There is a battle between the captain as well as Sidhu. This is what he told my colleague, Ghazali.
What has happened is, when only 7 and 8 months are left, the system wakes up and says, Sidhu sir, come for tea. Chai pe bulaya hai. Hang on. Surkhab ke par lag gaye Navjot Sidhu ke, kya ho gaya? Chai. What sir? Arre, come into the cabinet. Have these words. I said, no. 3 mahine baad, lunch. Lunch. इलेक्शन आएगा, अब सिद्धू कैंपेन करेगा, सिद्धू कैंपेन करेगा, उसके बाद माइनिंग होगी, ये होगा, वो होगा, फलाना होगा, और सिद्धू को एक शो पीस बना के सजा दिया जाएगा. हियर लाइज द क्वेश्चन, योर क्वेश्चन, दिस बैकग्राउंड वाज नेसेसरी टू आंसर इट. फिर शो पीस बना के उसको सजा दिया जाएगा. पंजाब का वेलफेयर कौन करेगा? Huh? What about jobs? You've given jobs to save your chair to MLA sons? On what basis? Sympathy? Taras ke aadhar pe? To phir aap taras un logon pe karege jo privileged line ke sabse aage khade hain? What about those who stand at the end of the queue, bro? End of the queue. Who do not have one earning member. That is the fight. Unko kyun nahi diye tumne? Have you honored merit? The bane of this society is that we do not honor merit.
Okay.
It is for selfish vested interests. Why should... And this is a handover taking place, bro. Ye jo ho raha hai na, ye isi liye ho raha hai. To iske khilaaf main ladai lad raha hun. Main aaj tumhe kehta hun. I'm telling you. And I am telling the whole world. Let him do this. Let him fulfill 50% of this agenda. I'll walk behind him without a post. Work 24/7 with him. Zila Parishad ka chairman bana, main wo bhi le lunga. Lekin tum us agenda ko pura nahi karoge aur ye handover chalta rahega. Hain? 400 ki vaccine 1600 mein bikegi. Inko wo de casteist remark honge. To party bhi haam kar rahe ho, sab kuch haam kar rahe ho. क्या कर रहे हो तुम?
But the same allegation is put on you that you are working on cross purposes. You are weakening the party with your comments like this.
How? उनको पूछो लोगों के पास जाओ. देखो सी वोटर का सर्वे देखो. पूछो लोगों से जाओ. तुम तो लोगों में रहते हो. जाओ ना. पूछो. किया क्या है तुमने?
You said your comments are damaging the party.
How? You tell me how, bro? What am I asking? You address these issues. I'll be quiet. I was quiet.